This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Welcome to Volunteering Vibes, Volunteering Hawke's Bay's podcast. The Rural Youth and Adult Literacy Trust is one of over 280 organisations supported by Volunteering Hawke's Bay. And they provide free one-on-one literacy coaching to teens and adults in rural or isolated communities in New Zealand. They use phone, Zoom, mail, and train volunteers to help learners improve their reading, writing, spelling and maths. The Trust also runs literacy camps, support place working learning, and partners with local groups to create literacy hubs. Now, their work is really important because it boosts confidence, employability and community participation. And today we're joined by Lillian Haskins. So, kia ora, Lillian. Welcome.
Kia ora, Tracy. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, I've given a little bit of an introduction, a flavour of what your organisation does. Would you like to tell us a bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So Rural Youth and Adult Literacy Trust, or RYALT for short, we're a nationwide charity that offers free one-on-one reading and writing and spelling help for teens and adults, like you mentioned before. Mm. What makes us unique, though, is that we actually focus on people that are in rural isolated communities, those that often sort of miss out, you know, on literacy support, or they just feel too embarrassed to ask for help. We have our volunteers who work remotely with our learners, which is quite unique. So usually it's via video conference, or sort of, you know, on Zoom or Google Meet, occasionally over the phone, and very occasionally too, sometimes face-to-face at a local library or community hub. In my sort of role, I'm the community support coordinator. So I look after volunteer coordination, our ambassador and contact centre teams, our community outreach, and yeah, also do a lot of behind the scenes work as well to help connect our learners and volunteers, which, yeah, I absolutely love.
It sounds like an incredibly flexible way to work. So you're there to deliver your services in the way that's best fit for the people receiving them?
Yeah, so we definitely try and sort of personalise it to each and every, you know, student that comes to us. We try and make, you know, the box fit the student rather than the student fit the box. And I think definitely being one-on-one is definitely, you know, a help for a lot of people who, you know, suffer from shame and sort of stigma from what it was like sort of growing up not being able to read and write properly.
Yeah. I think anyone who has ever come into contact with that can relate to how they might feel. So how do you use volunteers?
Well, honestly, volunteers are actually the heart and soul of what we do. We wouldn't be able to do, you know, or exist without them. Our volunteer coaches are probably our most popular role. They work one-on-one with our learners every week, just supporting them with their reading and spelling and writing and also confidence building. We also have ambassadors who help spread the word locally around their community, like at libraries, schools and community events. And then we've also got a lot of behind the scenes volunteers as well, all depending on what everyone's skills are. So we've got some that, you know, are interested in social media and they help us with our social media reach that way. We've got some that, you know, help us with our database. We've got tech support people, you name it. So lucky to have all sorts of different types of volunteers bringing their experience and skills to help us.
So the ambassador role, so is that the idea of that to promote the organisation to people who might use your services?
Yeah, so we are nationwide, but we are a very small charity and unfortunately don't quite have the, you know, marketing budget of some of the bigger sort of charities. So one of our sort of most popular and flexible volunteer roles is being a community ambassador. So usually no one knows their community like a local, and they can go in into their community. It's only a couple of hours a week, and they can do it at any time that they, you know, maybe they go and do it while they're in town doing their shopping or that sort of thing. And it's just making those connections with local community groups, local businesses, and building awareness about what rural youth and adult do, and, you know, that we're here, we're available, we're free, and all people need to do is just pick up the phone and give us a call.
No, that's right, because people can't use you if you don't know you exist, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
So I can see.
And they do an amazing role.
Oh, I bet. I bet they do, because they know the value of what you do, I think. You know, they can see, see the impact of it. So one of the things that people who volunteer often tell us is how much they get out of it. So people tend to think of volunteering as an act of giving, and it is, but it's also an act of getting. What do you think about that thought?
Oh, absolutely. Our volunteers, you know, tell us it's actually life-changing, not just for the learners that they're helping, but also for them. That it's usually the most rewarding thing that they've ever done, seeing someone go from, you know, being afraid to read, confidently actually tackling a form or reading a recipe or even a book. We get volunteers from all walks of life, you know, retired teachers who miss the joy of teaching, students wanting experience before heading out into, you know, educational social work, and also parents who just want to do something meaningful from home, which is, you know, one of the benefits of volunteering with us is that it is all remote, so it can fit around, you know, busy lives.
Okay, so that's good to know. So flexible volunteering is really important to people. So they, need to be able to fit it in around their existing commitments. So that sounds like that's a good option for them. So,
We also help upskill a lot of volunteers as well, you know, to give them experience that they can take into the workforce or, you know, if they do at least 3 months volunteering or, you know, 20 hours of active volunteering, we also offer them a reference as well. And a lot of them do find it useful, you know, especially in the job market at the moment, to sort of upskill into different roles, you know, whether it's in our contact centre or doing ambassador work, you know, being able to go out there and talk to people is a great skill.
Yeah, that's amazing. So the offer of a reference is a really good thing because they can be tricky to come by. And also it shows an employer that you're active in your community and that you're supporting other people and that you're keeping your skills up, learning new skills. So thinking about skills, do your volunteers need any qualifications or particular experience?
No, you don't need to be a teacher or literacy expert, you know, to be a literacy coach. We actually train you in everything that you need. The main thing that really matters, especially for our literacy coaches, is having patience, having empathy, and just the ability to listen. Because the main thing for our literacy coaches, we tell them, you know, is to build that trust first with the learner. And then once the trust is built, then, you know, the learner will be able to start, you know, start learning, start their journey. And that it's not a straight road too. It's, you know, there are stops and starts and corners and stuff. It's not like, you know, 3 months they'll be able to read, you know, fluently.
I can understand how that might happen. So how do you support your volunteers through the process? So if I'm interested and I approach you, what does that look like on day one, and how do we move through our relationship together?
So we try and make sure that our volunteers feel completely supported before they start. So everyone completes an online training program, whether you're doing, you know, literacy coaching or contact centre calls for our outreach or being a community ambassador. For the literacy coach, like I said, we've got an online boot camp program that they can work through at their own pace. And that covers the basics on how to teach reading and writing. We've got an online resource library that they can use. And, yeah, it just gives them confidence to be able to support their learners. Mm-hmm. Once they're matched with a learner, they get regular check-ins as well from our support team. Mm-hmm. Lindsay is our student coach coordinator, and she's got a Bachelor of Education and experience from, you know, teaching little ones right up to adults as well.
Yeah.
So she's sort of walked beside them as well, you know, with their coaching journey too, just to make sure that they've, you know, they're checking in and they've got access to all the resources that they need and, you know, for the lesson plans and everything. So we've just tried to build a culture where no one's left to figure things out by themselves. We just walk alongside them every step of the way.
Yeah, that's really important for volunteers to know, to understand what they're committing themselves to and to know what that looks like and what support they're going to receive. So that's a really good piece of information. So if you've just joined us, you're listening to a regular program presented by us here at Volunteering Hawke's Bay, where we promote volunteers and their organisations across all of Hawke's Bay. Our website is vhb.org.nz. I'm Tracy Weston, and today we're talking to Lillian Haskins from the Rural Youth and Adult Literacy Trust. And they offer a range of pathways to upskill people in writing, reading and maths, helping them in their life, work and study. So, Lillian, it's not uncommon for people who are involved in not-for-profits or the volunteer sector to have had their own volunteering journey themselves. Has that been your experience? Have you volunteered in the past?
I haven't, no, but with it was mainly literacy that sort of drew me to working at Rural Youth and Adult Literacy Trust. So seeing how literacy challenge affected my older brother growing up and now supporting my own neurodiverse son, I can really sort of understand how hard it can be, you know, when the system doesn't quite fit your way of learning. So, yeah, joining RIALT just felt like a chance to help change that story for others.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've raised a really interesting point there about neurodiversity and the current learning systems that are in place. What's your experience of that? You talked about your brother, but I suppose I mean the education system per se and the support for people who do need different methods or different approaches to help them grasp.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's sort of like what I was saying, you know, unfortunately with some of the school systems, it's, you know, if you don't fit the normal box, they can't sort of accommodate you. And my brother, you know, he grew up in the 1970s and 1980s where they didn't really know too much about dyslexia. And, of course, because he was finding the schoolwork so difficult, he would play up and then the teacher would send him out to go and help the caretaker. So he ended up leaving school relatively early, about 14 and a half or 15, apparently. And, he's done manual jobs sort of all the way through until he did go to literacy lessons, you know, night classes after work, and he managed to get his licenses and he's a truck driver now.
So I think that's
his passion.
That's good that he was able to pick that up, but it's unfortunate, and I think it's a familiar story looking back historically in how neurodiverse people have been, you know, have found education, have found the path. And I hope that we're moving in the right direction towards, you know, improving that. Certainly,
very slowly.
Awareness is increasing, and the acceptance that people do learn in different ways, and and accepting that, and trying to adapt the systems that are in place to fit that better.
Absolutely,
to improve that. So, so you're part of that happening. So, all the best with that, and we know how important that work is. So you talked a bit about your brother there, and thank you for sharing that really personal story. I just wonder if there's anything that you've come across in your work that you feel particularly proud of, whether it's a general topic or a particular story or incidents that happened that, you know, really kind of hit home for you? Mm-hmm. It made you realise that, well, you know, what you're doing is important work, and you can see the value of it.
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few. Mm. I've been working for Riot since 2022.
Oh.
I suppose sort of every year when we get our student writing booklets printed and done, and just hearing the feedback from the students. So our student writing booklet's like a collection of writing from our different students. Mm. And for a lot of them, it's the first time that they've actually seen their stories or their words in print. So we get reprint them out and we send a copy to each student and each literacy coach so that each student's got their own copy that they can have. And it's also actually a good resource too for, you know, coaches to use with their students for reading and everything as well. So that's always amazing to sort of see. And then also one of our students, Michael King Portiki, he is like 62 and he's been with us for about 3 years. And when he first started, he wasn't able to read and write. Mm. And he's actually self-printed a book with his coach, different stories about what it was like growing up for him. And he's on to his second book, which is more about like the mental health side and, you know, dealing with low literacy growing up, all that sort of thing. So there's a little part here, actually, part of his introduction of his first book that I'll just read out because it hits your head.
Thank you.
I've been learning to read for the past 2 years. It's been hard for me. I can only imagine how things could have been different if I had been able to read and write. And then he said, I was ashamed knowing that I couldn't and thought I wasn't good enough for my kids. I didn't make much money when the kids were growing up. I felt disappointed in myself because we had no money. It was tough on the kids. If I could have been able to read and write, I would have been able to get a better job and my wife and kids would have been proud of me. I worked hard to get a pay rise, but I never asked for one and I've never been fired from any job. It's never too late to learn.
Thank you for sharing that, Lillian. That's a really moving piece, as you say. And I think that we can't underestimate the influence we can have on people when we take part in volunteering and how that opens up so many doors for other people, particularly in literacy or the use of language, which we all use every day, but yet can stunt us and prevent us from achieving the goals that we want in life. The simple things like take a doctor's appointment or writing a letter of appreciation for something. You know, all of those things are important to us as individuals. So thank you so much to your team and everything they do to support people in doing that. It's an incredible piece of work. So what would you say to someone who is thinking about volunteering with your organisation?
I'd say definitely just do it. Don't let anything hold you back. You know, if you've ever wanted to make a real difference, this is one of the, you know, most powerful ways to do it. You don't need to be perfect or have special skills. Main thing is, like I said, just bring your patience, your empathy and a willingness to help. You know, we'll give you all the training, all the tools, all the support. All you need to do is just bring the heart, really.
So if someone wants to take up your offer and find out a bit more about what you do and potentially join you, how do they get in touch? What do they do?
Best way is through our website, www.adultliteracy.ac.nz. You'll find everything there, how to volunteer, donate or partner with us. Mm-hmm. You can also call our 0800 number, 0800 891 339, if you prefer to chat with someone. Mm. And yeah, we'll guide you through the process and find you a role that, you know, fits your interest and your availability.
That's awesome. So get out there now and start that conversation. A huge thank you to Lillian for being part of the incredible network of compassion and care that is volunteering in Hawke's Bay. We see it in action every day and we love hearing about what you're up to. So thank you so much for all you do and everyone at Rialt for their community. This organisation is one of over 280 that are supported by Volunteering Hawke's Bay. So whether you're on your own or a family or an organisation that would like to volunteer, you can find your fit at www.vhb.org.nz. As always, we'd like to thank our friends here at Radio Hawke's Bay for their support. You can catch this episode and lots more of other great shows at radiohawkesbay.org.nz. So stay tuned.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.